talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast. I'm your host, Tom Lacabara Stewart. So anyway, 1-800-313-9443. I see you guys in the chat room. I am in the chat room now. If you guys want, you can go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com and click on the chat room button, or you can reach it at resurrectrepublic.chattango.com as well. I'm hearing all kinds of noise in the background. Ah, you have a caller. Well, that's good. Laura in Michigan. Laura, you're on Resurrect the Republic.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to say, here's what I like to see. I like to see people buy Israeli style Moloch flag and stand on it and chant no more wars for Israel. See how long you last then.
I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you pull away from your speaker just a little bit?
Yeah. I said I'd like to see people get a Israeli star Moloch flag and chant no more wars for Israel.
Well, I can't disagree with you there. I'm not really crazy when I see people standing on the American flag. But the point that I was making earlier tonight was just we can't stand for a set of principles of freedom. Freedom, the definition of freedom means unregulated, unrestricted, and then turn around and be fascists when people do things that we don't agree with. But I certainly wholeheartedly understand that would probably be much better than standing on the American flag, in my opinion, but, you know.
I'd like to see it happen. All the state people all over get one of those flags and do that and call attention to what Israel is doing to us.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And, you know, 9/11 is pretty much the best example of that, because all of these years later, there are a lot of people that know the truth, but it will not touch the mainstream at all. And it's sickening to me. It really is. It at this point, enough people know in the military and in politics. You know, even Ted Nugent came out a while back, very vaguely, in some forum somewhere. I don't know whether it was Twitter. And he was castigated for saying, you know, he's all but what was the word he used? He's all but strangled from being able to say anything. So it's pretty bad.
When Obama was elected, I threw my flag upside down.
Yeah, it's a symbol of a nation in distress, and I believe that
people don't know that. And I kept getting it stolen.
See, the perfect prime example of the statist mentality when you express yourself, not only that, but it's a signal, and anybody in the military should know that flags are signals, and a flag hung upside down is a symbol of distress, rather than walking up to your door and saying, "Are you okay? What is the problem? Why are you in distress?" The first instinct is for them to commit an act of property theft, which violates the entire point and purpose of the founding of our republic completely. So, yeah, it drives me nuts.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
No, thank you for your call. Yes, it is rich. The irony is absolutely rich. All right. Our next clip coming up here is, this just shows you how even among Jews, they have to watch what they say. This is a Jewish commentator reports that the neocons were behind Iraq, and he does this on MSNBC, and I want to throw this in context. This is on the Morning Joe, right? So you have Joe Scarborough, and you have the daughter of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who pretty much rallied this radical jihadi brand to war with our enemies. So she's sitting there with Joe Scarborough, and then you hear this. Go ahead and roll the clip.
This was an insane war that brought us low economically, morally. We went to war against a guy who had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. It was a total pretext. It's inexplicable. And there you go to Cheney, there you go to Bush, there you go to the Jewish neocon, Jewish neocon, Jewish neocon, Jewish neocon, Jewish neocon, Jewish neocon, Jewish neocons who wanted to remake the world, who wanted to remake the world, who wanted to remake the world. Maybe I can say that because I'm Jewish, and to bring about a certain result
in
the Middle East.
I'm not really sure that you can.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
Go ahead. Hang on, pause it right there for just a second, Mike. You hear what they say? We're not really sure that you can say that. Even though you're Jewish, we're America, the bastion of freedom. This is the mainstream media, the arbiter of truth. But we're not really sure that you can say that because, you know, it's not really free. Just go ahead and roll it.
It's worse if a Southern Baptist said that. But I think actually some would accuse you of Bush derangement syndrome there, that there was this grand conspiracy of neocons, and you said Jewish neocons, that they somehow went to war on a pretext for the state of Israel.
Who had the power to pull off 9/11 without a hitch? Who had the most pressing motive? Who had the money to pay for all of it? Who had control of the military in NORAD to force it to stand down while four passenger planes went to their designated targets? Who knew the intricacies of U.S. commercial flights to get around the FAA air traffic control? Who had the power, if needed, to operate planes by remote control? Who had control of the courts in the United States to make sure that no wrongful death claims were on trial? Who had control of disposal, so that all the steel girders of the Twin Towers were shipped to China before they could be chemically analyzed? Who had the power to control the NYPD and the NYFD? Who had the power to allow dozens of suspects to escape to foreign countries, especially Israeli suspects? Who had the technology to bring down steel-girded buildings built to withstand forces much greater than aberrant planes and nominal fires? Who had the computer knowledge to coordinate the attacks? Who had the state-of-the-art knowledge about explosives and detonators? Who had control of the press and media to curtail investigations? Who is the most familiar with and has political control over the city, New York, at which the attacks took place? Who has a history of unprovoked attacks or even false flag operations, some of which have been directed at the United States? Who has a network of spies operating in the United States that can facilitate the attacks? Who has personnel in almost every sector of the American federal government to create a massive cover-up? And lastly, as any detective would ask, who benefits? Who benefits qui bono from the attacks? Israel had the motive, the power, the money, the influence, the technology, the terrorist history, and most of all, was the only one who benefited from 9/11. Benjamin Netanyahu, who admitted in an off-guard moment that, quote, we're benefiting from one thing, and that is the attack on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon, and the American struggle in Iraq. These events swung American public opinion in our favor. The day after, Netanyahu said something even more incredible. In regard to the 9/11 attacks, he said, quote, it's very good. It's very good. And of course, at a time when there was absolutely no confirmation of any of this, Ehud Barak is appearing in the London studio of the BBC. And before any evidence of specific culpability was found in regard to what happened on September 11th, Barak, Ehud Barak, is calling on that same day on the BBC for a war on terror and for U.S. military intervention in Afghanistan.
The Bin Laden sits in Afghanistan. There is a source
of
terror.
Who else did you identify, though? Because we're not saying he's responsible for this necessarily.
No, we don't say that he's necessarily responsible.
What about the four-part Fox News story by Carl Cameron, talking about these Israeli individuals, Israeli spies, Israeli operatives that had been at work in the U.S. in the days leading up to 9/11.
The first part of the investigation focuses on Israelis who say they are art students from the University of Jerusalem and Bezalel Academy.
What about the Israeli-based private communications company Amdocs?
Amdocs, your destination of choice.
Amdocs. What about the Israeli company Comverse Infosys, a subsidiary of an Israeli-run private telecommunications firm?
Investigators within the DEA, INS, and FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying through Comverse is considered career suicide.
Between Amdocs and Comverse Infosys, what was possible? What was possible in terms of Israeli electronic monkey business in this country prior to and during 9/11? Why is it that the FBI office in Quantico, Virginia, despite all of the Israeli spy operations going on in this country, up to and including the infamous Pollard spy case and the more recent IPAC spy cases, continues to award business, official business involving American intercept equipment for the FBI, to this Israeli company, Comverse? Why is this, folks? And why is it? Why is it that as we look through what happened specifically on 9/11, on 9/11, that we come through with all kinds of very, very disquieting and disturbing information that does not fit the official story? Larry Silverstein, the Jewish leaseholder of the Twin Towers in Building 7, the money that he made just obtaining the lease for the Twin Towers just 10 weeks before 9/11, doubling the insurance, and subsequently collecting billions, thanks to a Jewish judge by the name of Michael B. Mukasey, who oversaw the litigation. Why wasn't Silverstein present on the morning of 9/11?
And so, that particular morning, my wife, God bless her, had made an appointment for me at the doctor.
In his usual location in the Twin Towers. Why were his two children who worked in those Twin Towers not there that day? Why are other Jewish Zionists connected with the Twin Tower complex all missing on 9/11? Frank Lowy, Louis Eisenberg, Ronald S. Lauder, Julius Kroll, and Jerome Hauer. And what about Yerome Shalman of Powerlock Technologies? In fact, was contracted with to remove the 250 tons of steel girders from Ground Zero prior to any legitimate investigation of those steel girders, and to take the proceeds of this catastrophe off to China.
To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning.
And then there's Philip Zelikow. Who is this guy? He's a citizen of the State of Israel, and yet he wrote the United States government's official report on 9/11. And then there's Rabbi Dov Zakheim, co-author of the infamous September 2000 People for the New American Century paper with Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Wolfowitz entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses, which boldly advocated, quote, a catastrophic and catalyzing event like Pearl Harbor in order to get public opinion behind and to accelerate the United States over the Middle East on Israel's behalf. Zakheim, according to Robertson Jenness, and according to other researchers, with the Pentagon's comptroller from May the 4th, 2001 to March the 10th, 2004, during which over $3 trillion was reported missing by Donald Rumsfeld on September the 10th, just the day before 9/11.
According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
What is the role of Rabbi Dov Zakheim in funneling F-16 and F-18 aircraft to Israel for only a fraction of their value? What about World Trade Center Building 7 and the scientific impossibilities there in regard to the official story as to how it came down? It came down, folks, courtesy of an order by Larry Silverstein to bring it down.
This one of the things to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
And when we get into demolition, how can it possibly be that all of these scientists and physicists say that there is absolutely no way that those buildings could have come straight down in their own footprint, as the result of being struck by those aircraft? They came down, folks, by a planned explosion, an inside job unlike anything the world has ever seen. What about the five dancing Israelis who were caught celebrating 9/11 in three different locations that day?
Down there, I see this van park, and I see three guys on top of the van, and I could see that they were like happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked.
And whose vans subsequently picked up by the FBI in three different locations? How is it that these guys are arrested?
You know, hollered over to my lieutenant. You know, I think that could be the van. We checked it out, and it was.
How is it that they subsequently get back to Israel? How is it that two of the five have now been identified as agents of the Israeli Mossad? How is it that they were posing as Arabs running in a New Jersey moving company?
Amazingly enough, we have found the moving company where the five Israelis worked.
Was this building being used as a front for some kind of Israeli intelligence operation that possibly was doing surveillance on the Arab American community? Were there men celebrating or slapping fives or whatever?
How is it that only the Bergen Record in Palo Alto, New Jersey reports all of this, while all of the activities of these men are ignored? Their Mossad connections, the fact that they were carrying multiple passports, thousands of dollars in cash, and tested positive for explosives? And that we're talking about vans linked up to these jaybirds seized near the Lincoln Tunnel and the George Washington Bridge?
Two suspects are in FBI custody after a truckload of explosives was discovered around the George Washington Bridge.
And a third van found on King Street between 6th and 7th. How is it that this Urban Moving Systems, supposedly an Arab company, turns out to be a Mossad front? A Mossad front. And that the Kurtzberg brothers, Paul and Sivan Kurtzberg, were the two Mossad agents among the five that were arrested. All of this, folks, is available online, including the original police communications conversations.
It's a big truck with a mural painted of an airplane diving into New York City and exploding.
How is it that all of this happens? How is it that these individuals end up being deported? Deported by Michael Chertoff, later to become our first Homeland Security chief, who at the time was the Jewish head of FBI activities related to the investigation of these men. And how is it that three of these men, Oded Elner, Omer Marmari, and Yaron Shemuel, without the Kurtzberg, suddenly appeared on Israeli television in November of 2011, with Elner taking the lead and saying, quote, "Our purpose was to document the 9/11 event."
The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event. Our purpose was to document the event.
Documents, folks. Documents that Israel had prior knowledge of these attacks. Those five men arrested are just the tip of the iceberg. Fox News and Carl Cameron had reported that a total of 200 Israeli spies were arrested in this country between 2000 and 2001.
Federal officials this year have arrested or detained nearly 200 Israeli citizens suspected of belonging to a, quote, organized intelligence gathering operation.
The largest spy ring ever uncovered in the United States. In the United States. The Atlantic Journal Constitution had an article in November of 2001 entitled "Israeli Caught Up in Terror Sweeps," stating that immediately after 9/11, over 90 Israelis were arrested in this country for espionage.
Since September 11th, more than 60 Israelis have been arrested or detained. Evidence linking these Israelis to 911 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered. It's classified information.
The Washington Post reported that some of those Israelis were arrested in connection with the 9/11 investigation. And yet all of the leads have suddenly dried up.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on 9/11/2018.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Talking songs for thugs and living grace. Sounds to rest my ears.
Resurrect Repub. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. All right, what do we have for you? Oh, I know what I have for you next. Now, I don't like to make any predictions, especially being in Arizona, where our next piece that I'm going to be sharing with you in memory of somebody who I highly respected, being not too far away from where he met his end. But I see all the signs and signals that we're looking at the same thing that we were looking at when he made this prediction. He made this prediction months before 9/11, and I'm sure that you probably, by saying that, you know who I'm referring to. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Milton William Bill Cooper, a reminder.
And now we're being bombarded with messages that Osama bin Laden is planning to attack the United States of America and Israel. And I'm telling you, be prepared for a major attack. But it won't be Osama bin Laden. It will be those behind the New World Order who once again want to take the guns and the freedom away from the American people, because we're the only ones left in the world who can oppose the destruction of freedom in the world and the implementation of a one-world totalitarian socialist government, and that is the goal. Now, how stupid can you be to believe that Timothy McVeigh was the mastermind of the destruction of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, and just he and Terry Nichols, who appears to be somewhat of a fool, plotted, planned, obtained all the different materials, put together a bomb of such force that it brought down what we call in the military a hard target, a target held up by steel, reinforced, concrete columns, and he had no help. They're doing the same thing today with Osama bin Laden, and that's where I've been getting at. Can you believe what you have been seeing on CNN today, ladies and gentlemen? Can you believe it? Supposedly, a CNN reporter found Osama bin Laden, took a television camera crew with him, went into Osama bin Laden's hideout, interviewed him and his top leadership, his top lieutenants and colonels and generals in their hideout. This is a CNN reporter with a camera crew. And he came out and told everybody, within 3 weeks, Osama bin Laden is going to attack the United States and Israel. Now, don't you think that's kind of strange, folks? You see, because the largest intelligence apparatus in the world, with the biggest budget in the history of the world, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years, and can't find him. The FBI also, under the leadership of Louis Freeh, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years and years and years and many years, and can't find him. Some doofus jerk-off reporter with a camera crew waltzes right into his hideout and interviews him. And you know what his budget is? Zip, zilch, nothing. Now, that tells us two things. Either everyone in the intelligence community and all of the intelligence agencies of the United States government are blithering idiots and incompetent fools, including the entire apparatus of the FBI and all of their personnel, or they're lying to us. They're not looking for him at all. And the second is the truth. You see, the CIA created Osama bin Laden. They recruited him. They trained him. They found his leadership. They brought them all together. They showed them how to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. And when that was over, they still continued to fund him and train him. And they're now using him to help bring about world government by making him the big boogeyman because they can't use Saddam Hussein anymore. Did you ever hear of Osama bin Laden before you heard of Saddam Hussein? When did you start hearing of Osama bin Laden? It was after Saddam Hussein and Iraq were supposedly neutralized in the Gulf War because they needed a new boogeyman. But they're not looking for Osama bin Laden because I'm telling you right now, if I were the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, within 2 weeks I would have him dead or in custody without fail. Without fail. If I had those assets and that money, he would be mine. I would own his terrorist ass within 2 weeks without fail. A reporter from CNN and his little camera crew got in to Osama bin Laden's secret hideout and conducted an interview. If you don't believe me, tune into CNN. They're probably running it right now as I'm speaking. And if you believe it, you are one of the stupidest jerks that ever lived on the face of this earth. And whatever is going to happen that they're going to blame on Osama bin Laden, don't you even believe it. Another social illusion, social engineering project to change the minds and the attitudes and the beliefs of the people of the world, and especially the United States, to bring about one world socialist totalitarian government. Can you believe what they were saying for a while? That Timothy McVeigh, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the Defense Intelligence Agency, could not find Osama bin Laden in their wildest dreams, but Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols could, and recruit him to be their partner in blowing up the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building? Bullshit! How stupid can you be? These guys didn't have a nickel between them. Not a nickel between them. How dumb can you, how stupid can you be? Put me in charge of the CIA. I guarantee you I will have him in custody in 2 weeks flat. Or dead. Take your pick. Take your pick. Give me that budget, those resources, those personnel. I guarantee you he will be mine in 2 weeks. And you know what? If I had a few loyal, good Americans who were willing to donate enough money, certainly not even a drop in the bucket compared to what they really have in these intelligence agencies to really go after him, I could still have him in 2 weeks. Piece of cake. So why do all these fools believe this charade? That a CNN reporter and his little camera crew can do what all the money and all the assets and all the eavesdropping and all the intelligence and all the satellites and all the undercover operatives in the world can never do. It's because they're not trying. They don't want to. Osama bin Laden is their creation, and he is serving them well. When in hell are all you people going to wake up? Are you kidding me? I mean, is this some kind of incredible joke that people are so stupid they'll fall for this? Do you know how much money the CIA and the National Security Agency and the FBI has at its disposal each year? Do you know how many agents they have that they can devote to this? Do you realize the technology that they have to be able to eavesdrop on every single conversation in the world, no matter how it's transmitted, and pinpoint the location of every one of those transmissions? And they can't find Osama bin Laden, but some CNN reporter, he just waltzes right on in there with his camera crew, just like he knew where they were all the time. Bet you it was the CIA that sent him there. I told him where he was. And of course they know where he is because they created him. They're the ones that are funding him and backing him and helping him to create their new utopian world. Hitler could not have ever come to power, absolute power in Germany, without the Reichstag fire. Hitler was a socialist. He understood social illusion. He understood social engineering. He knew how to get the support of the German people, and he did it by burning down the Reichstag. The Reichstag was, well, in our country, it would be the Capitol building that contains the Senate and the House of Representatives. So if somebody were to go and burn down the Capitol building today, they would use that as an excuse, as Hitler did, to round up all of the enemies of the New World Order, which would be me and most of you listening, and throw us into prison or execute us, declare martial law, and come to absolute and total power in this country. I wonder what Osama bin Laden's targets are supposed to be. And if they don't, you know, if this doesn't materialize in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it will eventually materialize because they haven't succeeded in getting the guns out of the hands of the American people, nor have they succeeded in taking our freedoms away. In fact, there's been a great awakening in this country and a big backlash against these Marxist, communist, puke-faced, lying, subversive, Nazi, jackbooted Gestapo thugs that is gaining momentum. And so I can tell you with a certainty, they must do something terrible in order to stop this backlash and regain the sympathy of the mass herds of sheeple out there. And I'm telling you, one of the things that will give us the moral high ground and will begin civil war is the day that they begin declaring martial law across this country, taking guns out of the hands of the American people, and rounding up American patriots. The war will start on that day, on that day. And there will be a war in this country, a civil war to restore, not a revolution, but a civil war to restore constitutional Republican government. Now, at the same time that that's going on, communist and Marxist underground forces will begin, or try to begin, a revolution in order to institute a Marxist, socialist, or communist government as a result of the Civil War. And supposedly, we're not the only nation searching for Osama bin Laden. So the vast economic resources, the vast technological resources, the vast personnel resources, the vast networks and intricate web spun over all these years by the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA can't find Osama bin Laden, but CNN can? Bullshit.
I don't think I could have said that any better myself, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Cooper, and from one of our Zappia in the chat room there, fly on to a better place, Mr. Cooper, I agree. R.I.P. CFR. Yep. R.I.P. Bill Cooper. What a legend. Now, and I don't like to prognosticate here. I feel it in the pit of my stomach that we're on the verge of another one of these incidents. I want people to really seriously consider. There's a good, strong contingency of Trump supporters who are in opposition to the Syrian war. Matter of fact, the greatest amount of support that he got from me is because prior to his winning the election, vocally, he castigated Obama for getting involved in Syria. It resonates with me. Mr. Cooper, we had a little technical glitch there. Sorry about that. Mr. Cooper, fly on to a better place. So says the chat room. I agree with that. And, you know, I'd like to not prognosticate here. But I feel in the pit of my stomach the same thing that I believe that he felt. Now, of course, we don't have camera crews going in and doing the same things. Although I find it interesting that bin Laden's son-in-law, what was it, last year or so, was convicted in a New York court with a Zionist judge and a Zionist lawyer, which didn't make very much sense to me why somebody who would be so rabid against the big and little Satan would accept a Zionist lawyer. Very interesting to me, but the Syrian war, this is something that Trump supporters wholeheartedly, they praised Trump for being against when he ran. Now, there's been a divide since he's become president and he's gone the neocon Zionist way in foreign policy, and there's a good deal of his supporters who are disillusioned. And, you know, we're not only running into the midterm elections, but, you know, in 2 years, he's going to be looking to run again. And it's not so much Mr. Trump that I'm concerned with when it comes to this, but those who are surrounding him that need him right where he is. And I feel in the pit of my stomach that we may be headed for one of these, if not a major catastrophe like we saw on 9/11, perhaps either a series of smaller ones or a smaller one, somehow pinned on some sort of extremist that will set another pretext to justify war that we don't want. I hope that I'm wrong about that. I hope that Bill Cooper was smarter than me, and I hope that I'm wrong about it, but I kind of feel it in the pit of my stomach. So mark my words. Hopefully I won't go the same way as Mr. Cooper did. But it is a seriously concerning thought. I mean, if you really think about it, a lot of the Trump supporters were behind him because he opposed any more of these wars. And here we find ourselves involved in yet another one, which we knew. It's the PNAC plan. It's the Yunnan plan. It's the same plan that has existed for a very long time. I guess that we shouldn't be surprised. The patterns just keep repeating themselves over and over again. But it is disturbing. So anyway, this 9/11, I just want you to sit back and reflect. Really think about everything we've been through. And, you know, I want to ask you, have you really taken an effort yourself to inform people? Members of your family, the people around you, have you taken really the time to do more than just listen here or... Because I tell you, we're running out of time here, folks. We're running out of time. Every day we're closer to this World War III scenario with these folks. I'd like to see that not happen. So anyway, prepare clip number 7. We're going to roll out with the most recent report, Remembering September 11th, with Jake Morfonios. You guys know that Jake, I highly respect Jake, and I wanted to, on 9/11/2018, wanted to give him just a little bit of a space on this broadcast. Now, call me sentimental or historic. I find his analysis is very, very accurate. I highly respect him, and I advise you all to go to his channel and subscribe as well. You could go to the RTR Truth Media Reloaded channel and subscribe. I did a tribute to the 9/11 firefighters. Immediately upon uploading it, it was censored and it was age restricted, which means it doesn't get put in the queue. People don't see that it's there. And in fact, when Mike tried opening it up, it demanded that he sign in and put his password and all these things. So it keeps it suppressed is what it does. And it's a 9/11 firefighters tribute, and that's that of images that I pulled from Google itself that weren't censored. But if I put them together and put some music to it and put it out there, then it becomes something that children can't see, even though they had it on their own platforms, unrestricted and uncensored. Folks, I'm being really, really badly censored. Without you going out there and sharing our links, we're kind of dead in the water. Anyway, you have that ready, Mike?
Welcome to everyone showing up. Sound off. Let me know where you're tuning in from. Preston, how are you doing? I'm going to wait just a moment for a few more people to jump in before
we're
going to
roll
started.
This out, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Tina.
God
in Utah,
bless you all. 9/11, 2018.
Sam in Connecticut. Good to see you guys. Palm Springs, lift the veil. Hey, Nathan, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you. San Antonio, Goldsboro. Hey, watch out. Rain is coming. Antarctica. Wouldn't that be cool? Charlotte. Hey, a lot of people from North Carolina here today. Hollywood, Chile, Albuquerque. Sacramento, Nova Scotia, Yucatan, Mexico. Hey, everybody. So glad to see you. I had hoped that I could cover a bunch of different things tonight, but one of the main things I had wanted to talk about was Bob Woodward's new book. I'm several chapters into it, and, you know, a lot of people are going to say, if you're a Trump supporter, you'll say, oh, what a bunch of garbage. It's fake news or whatever. And there's no question that Bob Woodward has a liberal bias. But Woodward he really is a good journalist. I've read some of his stuff in the past on CIA activities and things like that. So I know his style. I know his integrity as a journalist. I think that as I read through the book, what I'm doing is keeping my eyes open for the bias, because there's certainly going to be bias. He is anti-Trump. But from what I've read so far in the book, he is sticking to his journalistic integrity. Perhaps the story is not going to be the full story. There's definitely going to be a slant to it. But I would rather get some of the truth than to go without any of it. And so far, what I've read, it's shocking. It is shocking. And I have not seen yet a whole lot to indicate that this is meant to be a hatchet job against Trump, although I think that I may see more of that as it goes on. But what I'm surprised at so far the most with the book is how out of control Donald Trump really is there in the White House, and how much these competing interests are just blatantly, in fact, Woodward calls it an administrative coup d'etat. People that are supposed to be loyal to the president are working against his agenda. And when you're hiding documents, when you're taking documents off of the president's desk that he has repeatedly asked for, and you've got like Gary Cohn and Rob Porter going in saying that they are doing what's best for the country by hiding things from him. Listen, man up. Man up, you people in the administration. If he is as bad as you say he is, you've got the 25th Amendment. Do something. Otherwise, you guys are the enemy. For, like him or not, Donald Trump was elected in a legitimate election. And you don't go in there and subvert him in this way because you disagree with his agenda. So that's where I'm at with the book. I'll probably do some more reading from it, share ideas with you. Maybe tomorrow we'll see. Actually, I've got some meetings tomorrow evening, so we'll see. But let's jump in and talk about the main point of today's broadcast, and that's remembering September 11th. Like some of you out there, September 11th was really my red pill. That's what woke me up. I had been interested in geopolitics and in history and things like that for years before 9/11. I was, in fact, it was before 9/11 that I was doing a lot of the work as a political strategist for candidates. But 9/11 happened, and I'll tell you my own experience with it, how I first heard about it. And you guys are welcome to put your own stories in the comments section about where you were when you first heard about the 9/11 attacks. For me, at the time, I was working as the director of a hunger relief agency up in Watauga County, the mountains of North Carolina. It was a tri-county non-governmental agency. We didn't get any tax dollars. All we did was we worked to help feed the indigent, help them thousands of people a month. We were helping give a hand up to help get them on their feet. So anyway, one of my jobs was to greet the new people as they came in, and I would interview them. I'd sit there and database, the people would come in and apply for assistance, and I would identify what their greatest needs were and how we might be able to help, depending on their circumstances. So I was sitting there, and it was around, I don't know, 9-ish in the morning, somewhere in there, 9 to 10. And I'm sitting there alone in this room, and a client comes in, and she's upset. She says, "Have you heard what's going on?" What's going on? And she said, there's some kind of plane attack has happened in New York City. And so I went ahead and did my business with her. After she left, I turned on my radio. I didn't have a television in the office, but I turned on a radio to, I think it was CBS, because I remember Dan Rather reporting. And I jumped on the internet to try and find what I could. Back then, things were not as instantaneous as they are today with the internet. It was nowhere near as big as the internet is at this point. So I was primarily getting my information from the radio reporting, the live reporting. And I remember sitting there, and I think it's because I've got this wild imagination, very creative imagination, hearing it, but not seeing the visual images. I was imagining what was going on, and you could hear the sirens from the police cars and the fire trucks. You could hear the crowds yelling. I could hear screams and the reporters reporting on jumpers jumping out of the building, jumping out of the World Trade Center towers. And it was horrifying. It was a horrifying thing. And then I heard something that, in fact, I don't know if you can see this. I'm getting goosebumps just remembering it. My hair is standing up. The sound of the first tower as it came down. I'm listening on the radio and I hear this rumbling sound. And then you hear the screams of the people as they start running. And the reporters, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Everybody's screaming, oh my God, as that tower fell. And it was shortly after there that the next tower came down. And I have to say, that I was filled with shock. It was traumatizing. But the other thing I felt was anger. Anger. Who did this? Who did this? And I, like many people, I felt helpless. I mean, what can you do? Here I am in North Carolina. This is going on up there. And then later on, a few hours later, there were reports, a lot of stuff. Of course, the Pentagon was hit. The plane went down in Shanksville. There were the outside of New York City, the next biggest financial center in the country is actually here in North Carolina. It's in Charlotte, where we've got the headquarters of the Bank of America, biggest bank in the country. And so there was a panic. They were evacuating the towers there in Charlotte because they thought there was going to be an attack there. We didn't know what was going on. And I'm just listening on the radio as they're trying to speculate. There were talk of car bombs going off in Washington, D.C. They were talking about evacuating the White House because it was believed that that fourth plane was headed to try and carry it out an attack dive bomb into the White House. It was a big deal. And that's actually 9/11 is up until this point. I didn't have any television in my home, hadn't had TV for years, and afterward didn't have TV. But 9/11, I wanted to know more what was going on. So I actually got a basic cable subscription with, I had to pay extra to get Fox News. It's the first time I had ever watched Fox News. And I followed this very closely, the reporting. But anyway, let me show you, in fact, the day after the attack, I went around and I picked up, I had some newspaper subscriptions, but I'll show you some of these. This one here is the New York Times from September 12th. It says, U.S. attacked. Hijacked jets destroy Twin Towers and hit Pentagon in day of terror. A creeping horror. Buildings burn and fall as onlookers search for elusive safety. And over here, President vows to exact punishment for evil. In speech, Bush says terrorism can't prevail. And really, the nation was furious. There was shock and there was horror, but more than any other sentiment, there was anger. Anger. Let me read just a couple paragraphs out of this article here to you. It kept getting worse. The horror arrived in episodic bursts of chilling disbelief, signified first by trembling floors, sharp eruptions, cracked windows. There was the actual unfathomable realization of a gaping, flaming hole in the first one of the tall towers, and then the same thing all over again in its twin. There was the merciless sight of bodies helplessly tumbling out, some of them in flames. Finally, the mighty towers themselves were reduced to nothing. Dense plumes of smoke raced through the downtown avenues, coursing between the buildings shaped like tornadoes on their sides. Every sound was cause for an alarm. A plane appeared overhead. Was another one coming? No, it was a fighter jet. But was it friend or enemy? People scrambled for their lives, but they didn't know where to go. Should they go north, south, east, west? Stay outside, go indoors? People hid beneath cars and each other. Some contemplated jumping into the river. For those trying to flee the very epicenter of the collapsing World Trade Center towers, the most horrid thought of all finally dawned on them. Nowhere was safe. For several panic-stricken hours yesterday morning, people in Lower Manhattan witnessed the inexpressible, the incomprehensible, the unthinkable. Quote, "I don't know what the gates of hell look like, but it's got to be like this," said John Maloney, a security director for an internet firm in the Trade Center. "I'm a combat veteran from Vietnam. I've never seen anything like this." And it goes on. So that's the New York Times. Here's the Wall Street Journal. Terrorists destroy World Trade Center, hit Pentagon and raid with hijacked jets. The reason that I think that it's important to have this, you know how it is. The internet itself, what gets posted on the internet can be deleted. It can be changed. But when you've got it in print, when you know right up front what people were saying and thinking and what the claims were, that's why I save things like this when there's a big event. This was a very iconic photo from 9/11. This one's from USA Today. Act of war. Terrorist strike. Death toll. Horrendous. And it's interesting because it's got reminders of things that happened. Crowds rushed to blood centers across the country to, you know, try and donate blood. Minute by minute, fear envelops the country. As jetliners strike U.S. landmarks, America's sense of security is shattered. Here in North Carolina, one of our big papers is the Charlotte Observer. Attack on America. And then they had a special section in the Observer that day just talking about what they knew. And there's another one of those iconic pictures that was taken.
Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast, 9/11/2018. God bless all of you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.